Aw, darn you to heck, Fishby. Daggum. I told you we weren't starting like this again today, and there you are, ignoring me. I guess your name does come first in the thingamabob. Bonjour, amigos. Bienvenidos, secret friends. Let's hop right to it, Easter bunnies. The TV news biz is fucking me. I'm a 100% no thank you on a second Trump term. No thank you to the second Trump term. Nope. And the TV news industrial complex is fucking me. F-U-C-K-I-N-G, me. Just in case you're curious. Because every time Trump gets near a hot mic, insanity ensues. Every time, guaranteed, fucking nuts. And with all humility, all humbleness, I likely know more about hot mic insanity. Like, I know it more intimately, hot mic insanity, than anyone else in the entire world. Hot mic insanity truly is my one unique area of the utmost expertise. If there was a PhD in hot mic insanity, Dr. Bob I'd be. But the TV news biz, did I mention they're fucking me? So rarely taking Trump live. And then even when they do, they seemingly always cut in, stop it short, thereby, I don't know, fucking me. And robbing us, if you're into different words, robbing us of bearing witness to the full meal deal of Donald J. Trump, American wackadoodle. Because if you thought Trump was nuts last merry-go-round, if you've heard him talk at all lately, it's as if Zeus himself like hit Trump in the head with a mythical crazy hammer on the hour every hour since the tangerine Speedo has left office. And the news biz, breaking news, the fucking me. Because they'll talk about Trump all day long. They will exhaust themselves bloviating on Donald J. Trump, American wackadoodle. But no live Donald, which is not good, because the more he opens his mouth, the more votes he loses. And who sang that Tangerine Speedo song? Was it Caviar Fishby? Why am I thinking Caviar Tangerine Speedo? I apologize if I'm wrong. And do they secretly want Trump to win? He is a ratings juggernaut. I guarantee if you look at CNN's ratings, like the first year after Trump got elected, and like the year before, like when he was running for president, compared to, do they secretly want Trump to win to save the news business? Or, and I realize this is unlikely, I don't think it's intentional with me in mind, yet it feels that way. Are they just trying to fuck me? Are they just that committed to it? They gotta take him live. Hand him a shovel and just watch him go. But no, and even when they show it, fucking CNN, then they got to cut them off because they think Trump is saying too many falsehoods, and then they got to bring in some Canadian fact checker from Twitter fame named Daniel Dale that stands like four apples tall, and he goes through the fucking diatribe, the litany of all the wrong things Trump said. Just let the man talk. Like, the best chance we have of not a second Trump term with likely running mate Orenthal James Simpson, because there's so much synergy with OJ and Trump. Just show the man. Let the man talk. What is this argument that they're somehow platforming him? Like, I heard, remember when CNN did the town hall and MSNBC was up and under? How can you platform the Republican presidential nominee? You know, how can you platform? I'm not sure ignorance is bliss when it comes to the Donald. And you know, while we're on the subject of the news business, fucker me, specifically at CNN, it's too bad I'm not in charge, because why didn't they cover Alina Habba's 40th birthday party at Mar-a-Lago like an Oscars red carpet? This is the political event of the season. Alina Hubba Hubba Hubba, the Trump attorney, Alina Hubba Hubba Hubba, 40th birthday party at Mar-a-Lago. Everyone was there, from Kimberly Guilfoyle to Lara Trump, co-head of the RNC now. I have a weird question for you. I was going to be done, but we're in bonus time now, so you're welcome for that. If I read the best book I've ever read, like by an order of magnitude compared to everything else I've read, should I share? It's a fiction book. Is it art? Is literature too subjective and too personal to share? Am I just wasting your time? Or if I tell you that I read the greatest book I've ever read by an order of magnitude and greatness, should I share, or should I? I've also read two books, Fish B, that are just fucking awful. Just fucking awful. And don't look at me right now like you're gonna do the thing. Do not, I swear to Christ. We're not doing Fish B questions, so I'll just play the question game amongst myself. So should I share? I tell you, it was amazing, but again, no one knows the subject of Hot Mic Insanity like me, you know. Neuroatypical doesn't begin to describe multiple mental hospital stays begins to describe. So of course our brains work wildly different. But the book I just loved, the author is Dean Koontz. It came out in 2013. The title of the book is Innocence. And I don't really want to tell you more about it than that. I went into this book blind. I had no idea what it was going to be about. Incredible, incredible. The best writing I've ever read, just technically, just meticulous. Every word, every sentence, every paragraph. Like every other page, there was a paragraph that if you would have just pulled it out on its own and slapped it in a poetry book, he'd be the best poet in America. That's probably a little bit of an overstatement, and that is not something I know well, poetry. But I thought it was an incredible read, just incredible. And then I've read two books that were just fucking awful. I think I might be saving you something on this one. Supposedly Karen Slaughter is a big-time American author, and she's wrote a bunch of, you know, huge, huge selling books. I read The Good Daughter. No, didn't care. No, it's too much. And I was looking for a John Grisham book that hadn't been made into a film, which is rare. So I read John Grisham's The Broker. That book is also so awful it made me hate words, the invention of the printing press, books, publishers. Made me hate penguins and random houses. Just fucking terrible. But Dean Koontz's Innocence? What a delicious, tasty, what a story. It's, woo! Addison Goodhart is the world's most hideous creature. He meets Gwen, the girl who can't be touched. It's kind of like, or there's elements of, there's a lot of different allegories in it. There's allegories of The Hunchback of Notre Dame, Beauty and the Beast, Romeo and Juliet, Plato's Cave, and then it kind of gets sprinkled in with some Stephen King-esque suspense. I'm not saying you should read it, but for what it's worth, I enjoyed the hell out of it. I'm sorry if you get it and you fucking hate it. Like again, I think it's like music and painting, and podcasting and comedy. It's truly a subjective thing. How cool was it, Fishbee? Now I'm going to ask you questions. Fuck off. How cool was it that the biggest college basketball game of the year was a girls' game? That may be the highest rated basketball game of the year until like the NBA Finals, maybe even more so than the NBA Finals. Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese. God bless it. Here's a rhetorical question for you, Fishbee, your favorite kind. If you thought Sarah Palin back in the day was an irresponsible Veep choice by John McCain, how about RFK Jr.? Now, Nicole Shanahan seems like a smart, talented, accomplished, I've never met her, seemingly lovely woman, but I don't know. But if something were to happen to RFK Jr., Nicole Shannon, I don't think has the background to exactly hit the ground running. Whoa, Jesus Christ. Are you that upset? Because I was going to ask you how the powers that be determine what Sunday is Easter, because I didn't know. But then my CFO looked at me like I was stupid. He's like, duh. He's like, it's the first Sunday after the first full moon after the vernal equinox. I'm like, oh, well, why didn't I know that? I guess, since we're doing it, say adios, Fishbee.